Blog Talk Radio.
Here's a clip from a 1996 American Black Journal episode featuring economist Dr. Claude Anderson.
An alternative economic structure in the simplest form would be a Japantown, a little Korea, a little Italy, a little Havana, which means where black folk would do exactly the same thing everyone else is doing. The reason we never had an economic structure in the country for black folk is for three reasons. One, we never had a national plan and a commitment to do it. Two, is that whites are boycotting black communities, and three, blacks are boycotting their own communities. And that's why you'll never see a white person get in his car, go down to a black neighborhood on a Saturday morning, get out and go into a black store and buy anything made by a black person. But neither will you see any Asians coming out of Chinatown, going into a black community buying anything. Everybody supports their own structure except black folk. That's why out of 36 million black folk, after 400 years in this country, you do not have one single solitary black business district in the entire United States. That is naivete, it is insulted, and it's grossly offensive to black folk because you're creating problems for yourselves by not belling up to the bar and accepting responsibility of amassing wealth and capital, creating economic bases, creating an entrepreneurial class, creating businesses, creating jobs that will hire your own people, creating money to take care of your own public services, your lights, your gas.
How do black people start doing all those things if 98% of the wealth is in the hands of the white power elite?
We started working that very simple. We start where we are. We are right now amassing for disposable purposes something like about $380 billion annually. We're about the ninth richest nation on earth, but unfortunately, that money is dissipated through our fingers.
Gene, are you there?
Yeah, I'm sure here. You there?
Okay, y'all. I'm sorry it had not over, but go ahead. I'm still working on the show, so you all should be good for a while.
Okay. Gene, I have a couple more thoughts, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. And I think you probably heard this time at the end, Dr. Anderson said, start where you are. Start with what you have. Okay? But in the beginning of that little talk, he said, we don't have a plan and we don't have an attitude or desire for a plan. And that's what I'm trying to say. We have to, and that's where black nationalism comes in. It can go just as far as that. It doesn't need to go much further. Simply the idea that we as a people need a plan. And then we need to start where we are, just like Gene Darden is standing in St. Louis, standing up with Gospel ESJ. He's starting where he is with a concept that's much bigger than him, much bigger than his community, much bigger than St. Louis, okay? The idea that CESJ has promulgated or for the world, okay? So we'll get around to saving the world. By the way, there's a recent book that's out called Black Women Will Save the World, and anybody who hasn't read it need to read it. That's a sidebar. Black Women Will Save the World. We have a great idea. The Just Third Way is a great idea. You can check it out on our website, .org/ESJ or CESJ.org, okay? That idea is great and it's for the world. But where do we start? You know, if that is something that can raise all boats, black people will be raised, and that's good. But where do we start? We have to start where we are. Now, Gene has started in St. Louis, and he needs help. He needs another brother, another sister, 10 more brothers and sisters to come together and help support Gospel ESJ so that a small group can demand some things to happen in St. Louis. And I'm not going to go into the fact that the little organization has already got a law passed in Missouri that is the basis for this, for owning the land that you stand on, that you live on, that you can grow your food on, build your business on. I'll let Gene elaborate on that. But that's a seed of an opportunity right there. But that needs to happen in other places around the country. so that we can begin to develop what we called 40 years ago the black common market. Most of y'all might be too young to remember when Mayor Hatcher was the mayor of Gary, Indiana. And he came up with the concept of the black common market. And I worked with him to design what that would be. At the time, we had black mayors across the country, from coast to coast, and even in the South. And the idea was to identify those communities where we had some political leadership, some influence, and then to build that up and connect those communities economically. So we might be focused on finance in Chicago, entertainment in California, and, you know, agriculture in the South. We worked with 30 black mayors in the state of Alabama, Alabama Conference of Black Mayors, and attempted to build a political community there. We have to build our communities wherever we can, wherever the seeds seem to be, because wherever we stand, that's the seed. We need to build on that, come together, and begin to demand some change. Maybe it's in our cities first, in our state, and then maybe we can go national. That's fine. It'll take time, and it has to be strategic, okay? But it has to begin with deciding we're not going to be slaves anymore. We're not picking cotton in the South, and we're not going to be a slave in Amazon in the North. We're just not going to be slaves. Now, there will always be workers. That's fine. But as a people, we're not going to be wage slaves or philanthropy slaves, okay, where people have to give us a little money here and there. We want to be owners rather than be owned. We make our minds up that we're going to do that. You can call it black nationalism. You can call it whatever you want to call it. But it is an idea. It is a thought. It is a commitment. It is a decision. And it's following through on that decision. Where we are, until we begin there, there's no such thing as a plan. And our brother economist, he laid that out. We don't have the idea of having a national plan. That's why we don't have the strategy, because we don't have the thought to have one. And the thought must lead to action. Then we will begin to put together a plan. Let me stop there. I'll chime in later, Brother Gene.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Thank you for that. And, you know, what Queen was saying is that, you know, being slaves in 2022, or why are we still in the slave condition? You know, this is modern-day slavery, you know, black, brown, yellow, red, white. We're, as Frederick Douglass said, and it's on our website, I didn't know I was a slave until I couldn't do the things I wanted to do. You know, you got the wage slave, the consumer debt slave, charity slave, as Dr. Brantley mentioned, you know. And Dr. Claude Anderson, I mean, he gave us a blueprint on how to get where we need to go, but nobody really took heed to it and joined on with him, you know, by the masses and get this thing going. Now, I have nothing against, you know, black nationalists or anything like that, if that's the approach that one wants to use. But, you know, I don't want to – we have to stop really living an illusion. You know, we've tried, you know, that approach. What I'm saying is I'm not against it at all. No, I'm for it 1,000%. But as I say, we have to begin to become more innovative in our thinking and our approaches to solve a systemic problem. This is a systemic problem. Now, he also said something that, you know, but what the just third way is, to what all that Carl Anderson has taught, and I commend him on the work that he's done and the efforts that he's put forth to get us to the next level. But what we as DOSBSJ is introducing is a just third way. Just third way. Now, Dr. Carl Anderson was an economist, you know, not taking anything away from his education. He was an economist. He wrote the Affirmative Action Plan. And right here today, other people are using it. You know, other people are using what was written for you. But he's an economist, but most economists think on a wage system. I'm not going to say a wage slave system when it comes to Dr. Carl Anderson, but most economists think on a wage system, a wage system. He was talking about start where we are. But with the just third way, there is a way that, yes, we start where we are with what we got, you know, but the just third way introduces a way that we can get our hands on capital, land, automation, advanced technology. The just third way shows us a way that we can begin to get our hands on those things, which is the wealth of this country, without being based on cash savings. Not being based on, yes, we have to start watching our spending. We spend money on, you know, $1.6 trillion, we spend money on materialism. And until we get out of that materialism mindset and start buckling down and really, every household needs a balanced budget, but there's a way, a just third way that we can obtain some of the wealth of this nation and it not be based on whether we have to compromise this, compromise that. You know, we all like nice things. You know, we're deserving of it, but we have to really look at what we need and what we want. You know, we spend on what we want and not what we really need. But we have to really transform. We have to go through a transformation, really. And it starts in the mind, but the just third way and the national agenda that we're introducing is a way that we can get a part of the wealth of this nation and not be based on a wage system or past saving system. You know, there's a way we can do it. And Dr. Brantley mentioned about, you know, the law that Lou Dodds v. ESJ passed, that is a big start. That is a start. And that is a start where we can start gaining an ownership of the land of our urban communities and really start to own some real capital and building up a capital estate. It's a start, and I thank God for what he has allowed, you know, us. I'm just an agent acting on his will, you know, what he's allowed us to accomplish with nothing, pretty much. And that should be a sign to us all. Stop telling yourself what you can't do. Stop telling yourself what they ain't going to let us do. I hear that so much in our community. You know, that's a slave mentality right there. We got to kill all that. We have to stop telling ourselves what they ain't going to let us do, you know. Therefore, if you go and study your history and where you come from, they know your history and where we come from. But if only you knew what you are capable of, then we can really, really
accomplish a lot, but it's going to take the renewal of our minds and us coming together as one. The best thing that you can take, the thing that you can take comfort in knowing with Dr. ESJ is that, number one, we're coming with a national agenda. Number two, we're coming with a state and local agenda that has been passed in the state of Missouri. So we, like Dr. Claude Anderson, we've got a blueprint, you know. We got a blueprint, you know. And that's what I think the listening audience, you can take comfort in knowing that we got a sound blueprint that will really change the reality of black people, native people, brown people, and that, see, when you, you know, so many people talk about they want to end, you know, well, in order to end racism, you have to go back to where it all started. That will end racism until you do that and go back to the root of it all, which is you and I, then your intention is not to end racism. You know, the truth must be told, you know, and it must be said from the mountaintop on who we are. But that's one thing that we have to kill in our mind, or what we can't do, or what they ain't going to let us do, you know. Dr. Brindley, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, that's an idea that you have to keep hammering to our people, that this is something that we can do. I know it sounds overwhelming when Claude Anderson said, you know, 98% of the capital is owned by somebody else. Oh, my gosh, we only have 2%. Well, guess what? 2% of the American GDP is a lot of cash. You know, it's a lot of capital. And let's start with that. Let's start putting our money in black-owned banks. And I'm going to keep hammering black, Gene. I don't mean to exclude Native Americans. I don't mean to exclude brown Americans. I don't even mean to exclude Asian Americans. I just want to include Black Americans, because there are Asian banks and there are Latino banks, but there are only a handful of black banks across this country. And how many of our people have their money in black banks? In an earlier show, I mentioned One United Bank, which is the largest black bank in America. It's an online bank. If you got $10, you can have a bank account. You can have a freaking bank account if you got $10. And can get on the internet, and they'll send you a card, a debit card, okay? Two or three different ones. There's no excuse for black people not to have bank accounts. We can have them now, okay? It can be One United or it can be some other bank. It doesn't matter. But One United makes it easy because it's online. The idea of putting our money, as little as it might be, in black-owned banks is an idea that we need to embrace and swallow line, hook, and sinker and digest it. Okay? Yeah, I have a bank account at One United. I also bank at Bank of America. Okay? Because Bank of America still is a part of the system that we are a part of. So I'm not suggesting that we withdraw from the system. We need to learn more about the system. I don't have a doctorate in business administration because I want to withdraw from the system. I want to learn more about the system and then teach our people more about the system. We need to have banks. We need to have insurance companies. We need to have mortgage companies. How many black-owned hedge funds do we have? Okay? How many of our people even know what a hedge fund is and how important it is in black political economy? By the way, that happens to be the name of a magazine published by Howard University review of Black Political Economy. It's a magazine worth reading from time to time. Put down some of these other stuff you're reading and pick up the review of Black Political Economy and see what some of our leaders and thinkers are saying and suggesting about us in America. But I intend to sound like a cracked record because it is so important. Poverty is a decision. And we've let other people make decisions for us, which have left us in poverty. We now need to decide we're going to get out of poverty. And we're not going to cry about the fact that they're way ahead of us. We're not going to cry about that. We can't change the past, even though I'm a proponent of reparations as well, but because it can affect the future, okay? We need to be focused on the future. How can we change the future? Now, the Just Third Way will change the future in America, period. Period, stop, okay? But we need the political strength to demand it, that it be put in place. God has blessed us in his wisdom in St. Louis, where Dr. ESJ got a law passed. The only place on planet Earth where a law like that has been passed. And CESJ has been trying to do it for 50 years, or 40 years at least, okay, and hadn't been able to get it done. So we have the ball now. We need to get it done. If the white folks who support CSA for 30, 40 years have not been able to get it done, then we got the ball. Give us the ball. We get it done. But we have to be able to organize and be able to demand it on a local level and then on a statewide level. Only if we do that will we ever be able to demand anything from this government. And I've heard folks on this show say, well, we need to ask. We don't need to ask a damn thing. We need to demand what we know we need and what the country needs and then be willing to fight for it. And by the way, recruit some white, brown, blue, and yellow brothers and sisters to come with us to demand it. Go ahead, Jane. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And one thing you mentioned is that making a demand, well, making the demand, it takes power. It takes power.
Yeah.
And it takes power. And there's no dollar amount that, yes, economics is power, but people power is unlike anything else. When the people stand up, particularly black people, when we stand up, the game is over. The game is over when we stand up, and we're not asking for any handouts or, and I think that's where, you know, we've failed in the past, where we're looking for, you know, government, you know, the constitutionally government to solve our problems. No. There is another government that can do what we're asking. And it's not trying to dismantle them in any kind of way. It's just basically saying, do what you have the powers to do. Now, listening audience, I know this may sound new to you, but, you know, we can't continue to do the same thing expecting a different result. And God said, I come to make all things new. So things are not the same. He come to make all things new. So this is a new paradigm, but believe me when I say they got the powers to do it, they can do it, and we just have to, you know, we have to change our mind, really. We first have to unlearn to relearn. And Bob mentioned something that's most important is understanding the system. I mean, understanding the system on how it works, and I always say, how can you be liberated by a system when you don't understand it? So we have to be educated on the system and how these things work. That 98%, that Dr. Claude Anderson mentioned, you know, they understand the system. Dr. Brentley mentioned Amazon. You know, I am now carrying about 80,000 pounds of Amazon product that's 10 feet behind. How it works is that when money is created, the top elite gets it first. And it's not that Amazon goes to these different manufacturers and work out a deal on how they, in a sense, how they can buy the product cheaper if they buy in volume. No. That's how we think it works. That's how it works on a small scale. But when money is created, the 98% gets it first, and they are able to buy merchandise, production, dirt cheap before it hits the free market. So by the time it gets to you, the price has gone up. But it goes into the hand of the 98% first. So with the just third way, what we're saying is give us equal access opportunity to that production, what produces the product and services. Give us equal access to it without taking anything from the 98% of those who own it, now, without taking anything from them. That's a way it can be done. And I don't want to go into the technical part of it, but, you know, it's a lot that we must learn. You know, the best educated man and well-educated man is the one who are self-educated, you know. We can't look what we're teaching within Justice University and soon to be own Institute of Learning of Economic and Social Systems. They won't teach you this in school. They're not going to teach your children this in school because they don't want you to know on how the system really, really works. So this is an opportunity for all of us. I mean, there's, you know, many, many systems or products and services out there. I say systems, ain't many, there's only one that we have to learn, but you hear so many ideas and people are getting involved with, you know, multi-level marketing, which is good. That's a way of really earning residual income, but I don't want to scare any of you who are in multi-level marketing, whether it be financial services department or, you know, a product or something like that. But all of that is about to come to a halt. They are replacing those lines of work. They are replacing it with artificial intelligence. They are replacing it. So we have got to really get ourselves in a position to where we won't suffer when it all comes down, where we've got a stake in it. You know, they can drive an 80,000-run self-driving trucks up and down the interstate, you know, if I can be at home with my loved one, you know, but I know that I've got a capital estate being built off those self-driving trucks. To keep it simple, that's where it is. We have got to get, you know, access, equal ownership, access to the capital that's being produced in this country. Is there any listeners out there that had any questions? You can speak up if you do. I'm not in front of the dial tone. The dial, I can't see the screen, so. But Dr. Brentley, what Queen was saying is, you know, how why is it so difficult for us to realize that we're in a slave system, when we're slaves to a system? You know, even the entertainers and celebrities, and even, you know, look at Kanye West and his situation. You know, whenever you're in a position where somebody has the authority over you to just snatch away $1 million, I'm talking about $500 million, just snatch it away from you and reduce you, that is a sign of a slave, really, that somebody has control over your wealth and your well-being, that they could just snatch something away from you and you'd be totally reduced to 50% or 60% of your wealth. Now, think about that. That's a position that we have to get out of. And with the Just Third Way and you building a capital estate for you and your family, let me throw some numbers out there. If we, a national agenda that Dr. Carl Anderson mentioned, which is the Economic Democracy Act. You hear politicians and those in Washington talking about a land of democracy, democracy. Well, if this is a land of democracy, here's an Economic Democracy Act. Enact this, since you cry about democracy and this being, when they talk about democracy, they talk about political democracy through the vote and the ballot. But what about economic democracy? But when Dr. Claude Anderson talked about a national agenda, we got one, the Economic Democracy Act. You know, let's just be an example. Go ahead.
Let me insert this. You don't get democracy by asking for it. America didn't get democracy by asking for it. America demanded it. America fought for it and died for it.
Okay? Yeah, they did. With the British.
Yeah, yes, they did. Okay, and black folk was right there demanding and dying for democracy. Democracy is not something you ask for. You might ask somebody to pass the salt or pass the mashed potatoes. You don't ask for democracy. You demand it. You require it. You refuse to live without it. And so we need the attitude of, we're not going to live without democracy. And no U.S. citizen should, and right now we're just dealing with U.S. citizens, no U.S. citizen should be required to live without democracy. Too many of us died for it, of all colors, okay? And so we must demand democracy, and we must demand that it be applied equitably, not equally, but equitably. What is the difference? Equitably means opportunity, okay? Each of us don't need a dime, but each of us needs the opportunity to earn a dime, okay? And those of us who want to earn 20 cents need a pass to do that too. Now, very simply, and you've said this before, the government, there are laws on the books that allow government to print money out of thin air. Absolutely true. Okay, it's been there for some time. The feds can do it. They've done it many times. What we need to demand is that they print the money out of thin air that the black community can have access to. That
exactly.
We can have access to. Okay, that's all we're,
that's
really
all we're asking.
That's, and we're not, and we need to stop asking and start demanding. And how do we demand it? Okay, you have started something in St. Louis that is a basis for demanding it, because the government, the governor has signed off on a law that will allow black people and other people too to own the land that they sit on and live on. and pay taxes.
Basically,
for.
Become landlords. Yeah, become landlords.
Become landowners, because only landowners can become landlords. Okay. We need to be landowners, then landlords. We need to be builders of properties and maintainers of properties that sit on land that we own. Okay? The only way to demand that, you can start demanding it now in St. Louis because it's law. And you can demand the implementation of the law. Okay? And you didn't get the law by virtue of your economic clout, Gene. You don't have a lot of that, do you?
No, sir.
You don't have economic power, and you only have one vote. I'm sure you don't try to vote twice in any election. It's just you. So you don't have a lot of political power. But you had a vote. More importantly, you had an idea. And it's okay that you borrowed it from CESJ, okay? And the CESJ borrowed it from, what was the attorney's name?
Louis Kelso.
Louis Kelso.
We adopted it, yeah.
That's all right.
We adopted okay. When I saw that we can have opportunities to own infrastructure, and our land, when I say infrastructure, I'm talking about, as you heard Claude Anderson mention, utilities. You know, we can have opportunity to own the utilities and the infrastructure of our community. I mean, when Claude Anderson was the first man,
yes.
Before I even heard of the new paradigm of Louis Kelso. And Louis Kelso did this, what we just did in St. Louis, Louis Kelso did it in 1975 under the ESOPs, where he turned employees into the owners of the company. His next step was, at that time, they called it the Industrial Homestead Act. That's where he was going for next, you know. But that was in 75, man, that was 40 years ago. That was 40-some years ago. And here we are, a little black man that was born in poverty, you know, a little black man that don't have no letters behind his name, was able to come and get a law, legislation signed into the law that will benefit our people. But here's the thing, is that we have got to, we're going to capitalize on this. We are in talks with state senator in Connecticut, Bridgeport, Connecticut, who is embracing this idea and wants to implement it there in Bridgeport. I mean, we can go even just having the law in place, whether it comes into fruition in St. Louis, you know, just having that law there, you know. Louis Kelso was an investment banker. He was well known all over the world in this country. You know, he wanted to rebuild Harlem, you know, but he was an investment banker and an economist. And for him to get that law passed, that was ESOPs on a national level. But, you know, for God to choose a little ratchet like me to go and get it implemented on a state level, that should tell us all something. You have the power to change things if you just allow somebody to change your mind. Just change your mind about, you know, what we're capable of. But, you know, Claude Anderson was the first man before I've heard of this new paradigm and came across it. He was the first man, black man, that mentioned that we need to have citizen land banks. And what the Citizen Land Development Cooperative is a citizen land bank. So we've accomplished one thing that Carl Anderson, you know, set out to do. We got a law passed for a citizen land bank, you know. So where do we go from here? You know, that's the question. We have to end slavery.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, Gene, you know, by the grace of God, you were able to come across the ESJ and the idea of the Just Third Way. Okay? By the grace of God, you were able to come across and hear or read the teachings of Claude Anderson. By the grace of God, you were able to get the governor of the sovereign state of Missouri.
Who's a Republican?
Oh, my God. Who's a Republican? Okay. Yeah.
And
okay.
Missouri is a red state. And he's a
very
Republican.
Red state. And he's a Republican. And he might even be a rapist. I don't care.
Yeah.
Okay. He may be anything. But my point is, by the grace of God, he signed into law legislation that you began to draft in partnership with a local politician, a law that the governor signed. This has not happened anywhere in America. So somehow the little financial power that you have mixed with that little bit of political power that you have just got a great thing done. What I'm trying to say is God is able.
Yes,
you will
and that
use you. Okay? If you will let him use you, if you will let him speak through you, yeah, you don't have a lot of degrees, but you're standing on the shoulders of great men and women who do. Okay?
Yes, sir.
And that's the okay? But the point is,
and this,
it's been done. Okay? Claude Anderson know about it? We don't know. We're singing his praises, and we should. But maybe he needs to know. Okay?
Yeah,
you know who Roland Martin is?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Those are two human
beings.
Yeah,
but that's a sign. That's a sign, Dr. Brantley, that God don't pick a whole bunch of people. He don't pick the whole family. He just finds one in the midst of the people that could possibly save a whole people. You know, this really put us in a whole new position as a people. You know, the St. Louis mayor just—I don't know if you know Bob Brantley—is, and this has a lot to do with the subject matter today. She just signed
a beautiful black woman,
an executive.
Right?
She just signed an executive order to form a commission.
Yeah.
To
study
reparations.
Yeah. Yeah.
And last night I registered to be a part of that board of commissions. I did send my registry in. And the reason for that is not to, you know, cause friction or anything like that, but they said that they were looking for new ideas, you know, on how to obtain it, you know. So if, and be God's will, if I'm appointed to the commission, my point will be, you know, and I will raise the question, you know, number one, where would the money come from? That's the first thing. Where would the money come from? And secondly, you know, what Dr. ESJ approach is on reparation is let it's the beginning to reparation is to repair the system. That's just the beginning. We first have to repair the system and dismantle artificial barriers that has been put up to keep us from progressing and really being having access to equal ownership of capital. We got, when you want to talk about poverty and racism and fratricidal conflict, and this is what Dr. Martin Luther King was afraid of. He was afraid that if we don't look at the economic system and look at the economic disparity, you know, before he was assassinated, this was he was headed, and he warned us. He said, if we do not come and get a national agenda and go to Washington and get our check, he said it himself, that our black community will be filled with despair, homelessness, hopelessness, and fratricidal conflict. These were out of his mouth. Then he was assassinated. 50-something years later, where are we at? Where is our community? Yeah. It's hopelessness, yeah, despair, poverty, and fratricidal, yeah, conflict, crime. This is what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Go ahead.
I want to point out, Dr. King didn't ask for anything. The sit-ins, the marching, and all of that, the nonviolent protests were not, they were questions. They were demands. They were,
yeah,
demands.
They were.
We're going to sit at the counter. We demand that we be treated like human beings and like citizens of this great country. He didn't ask.
And his brother, his brother is the one that got the Equal Housing Act passed. It was his, Dr. King's brother, who got that bill and fought and stood up for that bill, equal housing,
yeah,
opportunity.
Yeah.
It was his brother. Yeah. So they came together collectively. And when we come together collectively and understand the system and come together collectively, it's amazing what we can do. It's simply amazing on what we can do. So we have to first clean up and stop all the division that is among us, you know, and come off ego. You know, I'm a student. I will always remain a student, you know, because, you know, I'm always learning. And when you get to the point in your life that you know it all and ego, you're through improvement. You ain't gonna get no better. You know, because you have, and many of us as a people, we have to get rid of this complacency, and we cannot, and I find this, Dr. Brennan, I want you to comment on it. What I see and what I find is that a lot of our people are gaining this capitalistic mindset.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get mine.
Mm.
And I'm going to get mine. Now, you go get yours. See, that's how the 98% thing, you know.
Mm.
And it's okay for us to start black businesses, you know, and support black business. But as I always say, we must not continue on living in illusion. We have got into the productive production of goods and services. That's how we began to close,
yeah,
the racial wealth gap. We have to get,
yeah,
into production of goods and services, manufacturing. You know.
So Gene.
Yeah.
There's nowhere on earth does capitalism exist without partnership with what some people would call socialism. That is, you know, we live in a democratic socialist economy. Capital socialism. What am I trying to say? All these damn labels. All I'm trying to say is that there's nothing existentially wrong with capitalism. Okay? That is being able to take some natural resources, apply your labor to it, and then sell it or trade it for a higher value. That's okay. It's when it gets out of hand and you do it at the expense of society or the very place that you're taking resources from, then it's a problem.
Yeah.
Okay?
Then it's a problem.
So, right. In this country...
Getting rich off the expense of the many.
And at the debt to the detriment of the planet, okay? As long as the planet is here, as long as the land is here, and the water is pure, okay, or can at least be purified, then the next generation can apply its brilliance and its technology to do something with it. But if you destroy the land, if you destroy the water, if you destroy the vegetation, if you destroy the animals that help to protect the vegetation, the bees and other things, then future generations won't have a chance. Won't have a chance.
Yeah.
That's why they have a snowstorm out in California now, okay? Because some folks don't believe in climate change. Well, guess what? You don't come to believe in it. But the point I want to make simply is that our system in its purest sense is fine, but it's been polluted by greed and racism. Racism and greed have polluted the designs that even man has come up with. God has perfect designs. Man has added his little ideas to things, and some of the ideas are very good, like the mind, for instance, like our Constitution, for instance. But racism was a blemish on the Constitution right from the beginning. That shouldn't have been there. Okay?
Yeah.
So, in this capitalist system, we have a Federal Reserve, Window 13, I think it is, where the Feds can, as you have said, produce money out of thin air, okay, because it's the way the system works.
Yeah.
But they've only done it when big business needed the money.
Yeah.
And they've never done it except for the capitalist, for the original Homestead Act. It's never really been done for regular people.
Yes.
And so,
yeah.
You know, the Homestead Act, some people consider that a socialist act. That wasn't capitalist, socialist, just giving people land. Well, guess what? But it was part of a plan. It was a part of a capitalistic plan, okay?
Yeah,
go ahead.
And the generations after that are the beneficiary of the Homestead Act, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, capitalism is a feeder of racism. It is a feeder of racism because it really, you know, gain its powers and its money at the expense of the many. And you talk about climate change. You know, climate change is real. It is projected that if the America keeps going at the rate that it is going with the use of fossil fuels, and this is how deep the Just Third Way and our new paradigm goes, is that if America continue on doing what it's doing with the use of the fossil fuels and the natural resources, that it will be totally diminished by 2075, you know, totally gone. So under the just third way, under the just third way, and what we're introducing is we have to find ways on renewable energy and find ways to, you know, reduce the use of fossil fuel.
Okay. Hold on, Gene. I just need to stop you there for a second, okay, before you go too far. You said that capitalism feeds racism. I want to suggest to you that socialism also feeds racism.
Yes. Yes.
But they
exactly.
feed them through spoon. They feed them. They feed them through the spoon of greed. Greedy capitalists are the same as greedy socialists. People that want to maintain control and ownership of resources and political power to the detriment of other
power.
People. Okay?
But so go ahead.
The just third way is neither pure capitalism or socialism, because the just third way does not feed racism with the spoon of greed. Okay? The just third way is based upon expanded or broadened capital ownership. It is expanded on the, it is on a, built on the concept of all citizens being owners to some degree. Okay? And it does not, it is that not at all intended to feed racism. Racism will screw up any system or ecosystem that is designed to benefit man. Okay? Racism is a nasty thing. Okay? Never, God never intended racism. He intended the races, but he didn't intend racism. So I just want to be clear. You know, the just third way, what's third about the just third way, and what is just about it, is that it is neither pure capitalism or socialism, and it certainly is not racist. And that's key. It's just. And that's why we came up with Justice University, okay, to teach the principles of the just third way that are based on justice and equity and humanity, okay, and on and on and on. I just want people to understand, it is really that simple. The just third way is not a mystery. It's just that simple. And we are go ahead.
Yes, sir. And our people have to really go and define those words, you know, socialism, you know, and they'll be shocked that what the current government is doing, and Republicans do it, but they do it in a more conservative way, is socialism. When that bailout of the big banks back in 2007, you know, that was a form of socialism. You know, socialism is being controlled by the state, giving the state, you know, all the powers to make, you know, to what you get, how you spend your money, you know, socialism. And we as a people, we think socialism is good, but it's not. It's not good. We don't want to give control over government, of our lives, our bodies. We don't want to give them control. That's socialism. You know, when they print money, you know, create money out of thin air, you know, that's not backed by anything, and pump it out into the economy, you know, that's legal counterfeiting. So they do it every day So what we're doing, what we're saying under the Just Third Way and the Economic Democracy Act and the Citizen Land Development Cooperative, or the law that we just got passed in Missouri, is that, look, create some money. the Federal Reserve create money through the discount window of the commercial banks. Now, when I say discount window, all I'm saying is that money can be created at a low interest rate, 0 to 1%. But here's the kicker to it, that creates this money and it's backed up by real assets, real structures, real producing income, real productive capital. It's not like what you're doing today. You create money that's backed up by government debt. But under the Citizen Land Development Co-op, we're asking you, let's just say for St. Louis, and if we can, it all has to do with the 12 regional feds, particularly the St. Louis Federal Reserve, which is pretty unique within the 12 regional feds, because one thing about the St. Louis Federal Reserve is that that's where most of the study is, and they really, really study and look at new ideas and concepts. You know, that's the good thing about the St. Louis Federal Reserve. But it's to create the money through the discount window of the commercial bank to where it's backed up by real assets. Unlike what you're doing now, is creating money that's backed up by government debt. The loan, the money creation, will be paid back 5 to 7 years. Pay it back 5 to 7 years. So, and it's not a burden on the taxpayer. You know, most of the projects and things that go in our community is based on taxpayer dollars. We have to end that totally. No, it can be created by real assets and not by taxpayer dollars. That's it. You know, that's pretty much it. And that makes sense. That's what you call democratization of the money system on a local and state level. You know, and once the loan is repaid within 5 to 7 years, then you cancel that money. You don't continue to have that money in circulation. You cancel that money out of circulation. It's paid for. Let's move on. And then after the loan is paid off, then the citizens and permanent residents of Missouri and St. Louis will begin to get dividend income off of the land leases, of the infrastructure, you know, the roads, you know. All of that can be leased to government, you know, all of that, the roads that they spend tax dollars for, all of that can be leased to government. And that's just how simple it is. But Queen, are you back on yet?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead. We ain't heard from you in an hour and a half. Go ahead. We'll let you take over.
I don't know what the conversation has been. So let me just start with intention. The intention for this entire broadcast was to shine a light on how we are economic slaves, how we are not too far from where we came when we came out of the cornfields and the cotton fields. And that is because we have been enslaved in a different way. And that is because everything that we need in life, you know, whether it's electricity, whether it's housing, whether it's clothing, whether it's food, whether it's entertainment, whatever it is that we say that we need, all the products and services are owned mostly, 97% of it, is owned mostly by someone other than us. And what I'm saying is that any time that you cannot go into your community and look at someone who looks like you to recirculate those dollars within our community, to let those dollars stay in our community for weeks, for years, we have become enslaved. We are taking our dollars. We are making everybody else rich, wealthy. and we are still suffering. And then, not only that, but as a people, we have to really prioritize what is important, how we are being manipulated and enslaved and programmed through media. Because, see, they're not programming you for ownership. They're not programming you to be innovative and creative in your own communities. But what they are programming you to do is take your hard-earned dollars and buy this latest dress, buy this, go to this latest movie. This is the new Jordan coming out. These are the things that we are being programmed to do. And until we can really take a look at our current situation, because with everything that we're saying, just third way, the thing about it is that how many people will actually take that opportunity to really get involved into their communities, to be able to own land and to own infrastructure and to have corporations come into their neighborhood and you own part of the land leases, you get dividends from the land leases. How many people are ready for that? How many people are ready to own a home in 5 to 7 years or 12 years or however long it takes? How many people are ready to do that? It's through education, and only through education, that there has to be a comprehension going into this third way to understand that you're not leasing anymore and that you're not just throwing your money away anymore, but that there are dollars being created for you to be creative, for you to be innovative, for you to take part and have a say in what goes in and up in your community. And we as a people have to get ready for that. So we're going to have to find a way to actually market just their way, to make it a conversation piece amongst our people. But our people have been redirected and distracted by some of the things we can take control of, like our media. And that's why I'm so passionate about media, because we have the responsibility to get the correct information out there to our people that feeds their minds, not disrupt their souls. And if we don't assume... Yeah, Jingo?
I'm sorry. I just want to throw this out there. And this is very, very significant. When I learned of the Just Third Way, and a little old man by the name of Dr. Norm Curlin, and you can go on the website, TSA website, and look at his bio. Dr. Norm Curlin was once a civil rights lawyer back in Mississippi, and just imagine, you know, a Jewish man was a civil rights lawyer, and he said that, he said it with his own mouth, he said the one people who should be fighting for this and demanding for the Economic Democracy Act, said it's black people. He said it should be black people who are demanding, because they are the most disenfranchised. When he was in the civil rights movement down in Mississippi in the 60s, he realized with, you know, with Medgar Evers and all of those who walked with him, he realized the number one component that was missing from their struggle. And he said it was economic. They were wanting jobs and welfare, but they wasn't demanding ownership. And that's what he brought, an economic system. But he said in himself, it should be us who are leading this cause. It is, should be black people. Now, here's a Jewish man born for us, and he's not a typical Jew, let me point that out. you know, he's not the typical Jew. He don't believe in what they're doing in Israel, and he, you know, and he's not the typical Jew. But he says that it should be black people. Now, here's a Jewish man want for you more than you want for yourself. And I know the secret of relationship between blacks and Jews. I've read all three volumes, so don't get it twisted. I understand all that. But here's a man that wants more, that don't even look like you, that wants more for you than you want for yourself. I just want to put that out there, Queen.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, of course, we pay homage to Dr. Curlin and everything that he's been so willing to share with us. So, you know, we would be remiss if we didn't mention him. But the intention for this broadcast, like I say, was to shine a light on how much money we actually contribute to this economy every times 10. And times 10, we could build a nation within a nation, as they say. Every city and state could have somewhere, every metropolis, at least I know, could have somewhere where there's a community of African American people, of Native American people, of poor Hispanic people that could benefit from this, that could change the entire world. And people don't understand that economics drives everything. Your economic system determines how much crime is committed in your community.
Yeah.
Your economic system, it determines how politicians treat you and approach you. It's a difference between when they know that you're a tenant and that they can get away with anything, and then when they know that you are owners and they can't get away with anything. So when you own and you're invested in your community, there's a different approach to you from the police officers. They don't treat the Asian people when they go into to their community the way they treat us. They don't treat Caucasian people when they go into their community the way that they treat us. And that is because most of the time they own those communities, and there's a respect that goes there because these people are actually, they know that their tax dollars is paying their salary. So it affects
everything. You're absolutely right, Queen.
Yeah, it affects every aspect of our lives. But here's the thing. Here's the biggest disgrace. When we say that we are descendants of American slaves, does anyone ever stop to think what we owe our forefathers that were slaves? Does anyone ever stop to think what they tolerated, being beaten, being burnt, being mistreated, being raped, come up to so-called freedom, Jim Crow laws, and all of those things, and Black Wall Street, and all of those things, and Rosewood, and all of those things like those, and they tolerated that for a hope for the future. If you ever heard the Black National Anthem, those are some very powerful words. Don't sing it, read it. When it says, stony the road we trod, bitter the chastened rod. You know, when they say that they ran through paths that was once covered with blood of the slaughtered.
Yeah.
Run through the where our tears watered. Those things are everything our people suffered. Don't you owe it to yourself? Don't you owe it to them that tolerated that in order for you to be here now? Because that's my take on it. because they could have jumped off the ship. They could have did something to get themselves killed and hung so they wouldn't have to endure. But they stayed with a hope and a faith. Where is our hope and faith? Where is our hope and faith for true freedom? You're not free if you got a lease. You're not free if you got a lease. And you're not free if your sole source of income is your job. You're not free if you don't have an opinion about what goes up and into your community. You're not free when you cannot participate in the process that governs the education of your children. So you're still a slave. And you're going to be a slave until you get behind and demand a new economic paradigm that will make it feasible for everyone, not just African Americans, for everyone to be able to thrive and grow and own and live in peace, because there's nobody knocking me in my head because of poverty. And we sometimes have to shine a light on ourselves and look at ourselves in the mirror and diagnose and process what's going on and process how can we get to the next level. But it's people like me and Gene to whereas when we try to do something good, say something good, say something positive, informative, something that's going to save your life, people are not present. I could change this whole show right now and say Thong City, and I'll have so many people on here that blog talk will be telling me add more lines, add more lines, add more lines. But that's a sad day when that takes precedence over your life. Because if you don't think economics run your life, then take economics out your life and see what happens.
And that's a clear example of being enslaved, because what's happened now is that somebody owns your mind. Somebody's in control of your thinking. You know, a lot of you, I was watching something on social media, and a well-known guy, I can't recall his name, but he said he asked the question that he asked his, you know, if you ask your girlfriend, what would you rather have, your Instagram account or this? And she said her Instagram account. See, we have to stop wanting to be seen in the eyes of men. And as you said, if you change, you know, this whole, you know, program to talk about thongs and relationships, sex, and the ways of this world, you know, you will be, your lines will be blown up. And see, that is a form of slavery, because you have really became submissive to their control over the cognitive map, which is your thinking. You know, we have got to become more educated on what is happening and what, how can we even begin to change the system without refusal to understand it. You know, what we talk about, I mean, if me being an independent thinker, and when I ran into, you know, CSJ, being an independent thinker and an open mind, with an open mind, see, many of us have a closed mind. And when you got a closed mind, it's just like jumping out of an airplane without a parachute. You're going to crash. We have to start opening up our minds and, thinking more consciously and thinking of other ways and new ways. And that's what keeps us enslaved, Queen. That's what keeps us in slavery. Because I see, as the scriptures of the Bible say, we're like cattle. Easy to lead in the wrong direction, but hard as hell to lead in the right direction. And if you ever was coming down the road and you seen a field of cattle, you'll see a man on a horse with a whip because the cattle are going to go the wrong way. The whole herd going the wrong way. That's how we become. Easy to lead in the wrong direction, but hard as hell to lead in the right direction. I just wanted to put that out there.
And, you
Dr.
know,
Brantley,
it's unfortunate.
Yes, I'm here. Go ahead, Queen.
Now, it's unfortunate, but some people are going to be left behind. And some people want to, you know, they want to get on the bandwagon later. And all of that's fine. But in order for you to be successful in this process, you're going to have to change your thinking, because everybody has been so conditioned to believe that this economic system is the only one that will ever exist. And everybody, all the economists that we've heard from, that, you know, we know personally, with the exception of Dr. Cullen, of course, are trying to fix the economy within its current system.
Yeah.
Well, that's just like having a hole in the bottom of your cup. And you keep pouring water in, and it keep running out. And then you pour coffee in that same cup. And you pour juice in that same cup. Then you pour some wine, some champagne, some beer in that same cup. And it's still leaking. That's because nobody is getting rid of the cup and getting a new cup. And that's what this economic system is like. It's like a cup with a hole in it. And they keep pouring shit in it, and the shit still leaks because it needs to be replaced. So it's time to throw that bitter cup away and get you a new cup. That's the way we have to look at this economic system that currently exists, because it has not benefited us as a people. Stop looking at Oprah. Stop looking at Tyler. Stop looking at Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, because they are the few. Because why can't all of us have our equal share to be prosperous in life? And sometimes if you ask those people, if you had the nerve to ask those people, how much ass you had to kiss to get that? And you'll realize that they're not free. I'm going to tell you why they're not free. I used to be in the entertainment business, and I was just a background singer for one of the number one blues men in the country, Johnny Taylor. But let me tell you something. You're not free. When you get up in the morning, you got somewhere to go. You got to talk to this person, got to meet with that person, got to sign this, you got to go see that lawyer, that accountant. You got that rehearsal coming up. You got to be in this city on this day at that time. You got to perform for 2 hours here. Oh, you want to be on that TV show? Yeah, we got you booked on this show. Get on the plane, get over there, and land at 7 o'clock, be at the studio at 8:30. They not free. That's how you move in entertainment business. That's real. So they not even free. But people have to have aspirations for their own lives. And I ain't talking about, I can't speak for nobody else. But I'm going to speak for Gene Gordon, because I know he's passionate about this. I'm passionate about this. We're going to make this happen but we need help. We can't do it by our two selves. But if you're one of those people that just want to get on board and talk and be seen or whatever it is, then you're right to stay away, because we need people that's going to go to work. So I'm going to repost and market this program, because I want other people to hear it as well again. And I'll probably do that twice this week, because today I'm speaking straight words, because we're running out of time. You have other people investing in America. Sooner or later, you're going to realize that everything around you is for sale. You're going to be eating dog in a minute. Let the Asians come over here and take over your food program, your food resources. Let them keep taking your farmland. Let them keep being able to market meat and vegetables and in your markets, and you're going to be eating rat and dog, because that's what they eat.
And cat.
Ew. Okay. Cat, rat, and dog.
Yeah.
But, Queen, you're
not
going to
know.
Earlier.
Go ahead.
You said something earlier that is so true. In the show, I was mentioning that, you know, what the mayor of St. Louis has signed an executive order on to form a board of commission to study reparations for black people in St. Louis, and I registered to sit on that board of commission. And that was one of the questions on the questionnaire when you fill out the application. It didn't ask if you're a renter. It asked, do you own property in the city of St. Louis? It didn't say where you're a renter or owner. And as, that's just going back to what you were saying on how we're treated when they come in our community, how we're treated, you know, from politicians, and the differences it made for ownership or, you know, renters. That was one of the questions. It asked, was you an owner? It asked, do you lease or you own? Were you an owner? So ownership. Right now, we're being owned. You know, we got the ownership brings power. Power follows property. Power follows property. Property. That's how we got to understand. But Bob, go ahead.
Sister Queen, it's 7 o'clock. I'm going to have to go. But before I go, I just want to say to you, if I haven't said it recently, how much I appreciate you and your passion and your leadership.
Thank you, Dr. Bradley.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. And I don't know if you ever watched Trevor Noah on his show. He just did his final show, and he gave a shout-out to black women at the end of that show. That was profound. Mentioning his mother, grandmother, aunt, and suggested that if you want to know how to get something done and get it done ethically and get it done right, he said, ask black women. Mm-hmm. That's the last thing he had to say 7 years ago. And I just want to also mention a book that my wife just finished reading by April Ryan called Black Women Will Save the World. Black Women Will Save the World. And some of that effort got peaked in Georgia recently on the backs and the work and the brilliance of black women. So love you, sis. Love you. And I will
thank
always,
you, Dr. B. Love you, too.
Okay. I'll always be available to you. Okay? I got to go.
Yes,
I got
sir.
A black woman calling. She's my wife. I have over 50.
God bless
That's a
you.
Blessing.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's a blessing.
It is.
Thank you.
At times. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, y'all. We up at 6 o'clock. Gene, you want to give us some marching orders before we go?
Well, I just want to say to the listening audience is to unlearn to relearn. Go to the website, you know, and elevate your mind through new ideas and new concepts, because they're out here. We got to, you know, take a new approach to solve the systemic problems that's plaguing our community, and we have to really come up with more innovative ways of doing things. We can't continue everything for the last 60 years. None of that has worked. And when you mentioned about, you know, economists, you know, what they're doing, like pouring water in a cup with a hole in it, the reason for that is that it's, you know, the economists are thinking on the wage system. You know, that's what they're thinking on a wage-based system, a job, you know, and that's what keeps us all, you know, modern-day slaves today is a job, you know. We have to get out of the process of mentality. You know, we have to start becoming creators and not processors. You know, process of mentality is, when is my lunch hour? When do I go home? What are my fringe benefits? You know, all that is to keep you in a wage slave system. We got to become creators and not process.
Right. And I also want to encourage people to go to the website. But also, you know, if you want to join, you know, Dots for ESJ, please push the join button. But also, if you don't want to join, you know, just make a donation. No donation is too small, and no amount is too great. So, you know, every organization needs backing and support. But it would be so beautiful if our own people would support us financially in our efforts to see all of our people free. That is what this whole organization is about. It's about economic freedom and economic justice. And so if you would just, you know, donate $5, $10, whatever you can afford, you know, if we can go out and spend $300 on hair and nails, I'm just asking for $5 of that, and maybe you can not get the shellac. Maybe you can just get the regular polish and take that out of that $300 budget that you got. And make a donation to Dots for ESJ. We need your support. And so, you know, we're coming up where Gene and I are going to be doing some real big things in two locations, but we're going to be doing some real big things coming up in the new year. And we would like for people to join on to help us. So go to the website, look at the membership. If you don't want to join right now, just make a donation, no matter how small it is. Everything will be appreciated. So if that's it, Gene, my marching orders to everyone this week is to be proactive and invest in yourself. All right, that's all I got. One nation, one love. And we're going to fight the power of that beat. Here we go.